Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
1 hour down, 3 to go. Jake Vonnegut with you guys here on The Fan. Going to be joined momentarily by Matt Verderam of SI Now. As we go through and look at this entire situation with Russ, it's ugly. I'm excited to hear what Matt's opinion on the entire situation is going to be. Usually a very candid person. He'll try to just shoot you how it is. And I got a feeling... that in reality here, he's not going to be the biggest fan of Russ, okay? I don't think he's going to be the biggest go-getter of Russell Wilson. And I don't know how he's going to feel about Kirk either or the entire Brown situation. I'm really interested to hear the Myles Garrett take of it because I don't love it. Maybe I'm just being dramatic. Maybe I'm just sort of overshooting my feeling towards Myles. Jax, do you think I'm wild here? I mean, listen, leave the guy in the corner, okay? Don't talk about that guy. Leave the guy that's supposed to be in the corner right now, who we placed here at 7 o'clock, leave him over there. Miles specifically, you want him in the building right now selling a quarterback on why he should be here?
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, he's considered the leader of this team.
Yeah, so this is a problem.
I mean, and he's been here, like, the... Maybe bring Joe Batonio in.
That's what I said. Just bring in Joel. I feel like you get better. Like, in the whole, I just feel like when I have to go, I guess he's the leader, I don't love that. Like, I would like this team to have a clear leader. And I don't know if it's Kevin. I don't know if it's Miles. Maybe we can have that question answered. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Matt Verderam with SI Now, and he joins us right now. Matt, what's going on?
What's going on? How you doing?
Not too bad. It is a day filled with very interesting things happening for the Browns, including Russell Wilson being brought in for a meeting, for an interview. I mean, we'll just shoot it blank sort of how it is. How serious are the Browns right now in a pursuit of Russell Wilson in your eyes?
I think for the Browns, you're doing due diligence, and you recognize the fact that he's a better option than anybody that's on the current roster. I just think if you're Cleveland, you got to ask yourself the question of what is the end game with it? I mean, if he comes in, okay, it's a one-year deal, obviously. Any more than that's insane. But, are you competing? And I don't mean for a Super Bowl, of course, but like you're competing for a playoff spot. Are you significantly better, or are you 6-11 better? I think that's the question at hand. He's obviously an upgrade over anybody that had a quarterback the last couple of years, even in his diminished state. But, yeah, I think, look, if you're the Browns, you are interested. I also think you'd much rather just have your franchise going forward out of the draft. But the open-ended question is, are they really excited about either one of these kids at the top of the draft?
Yeah, I guess the other thing with Russ, too, that people will point to is sort of the off-the-field I don't even know how to fully explain what comes with Russ, just sort of the personality he brings.
Yes.
Is there – I've heard conflicting reports throughout this offseason on how people really feel. I mean, we've heard people from Pittsburgh say that he was really liked among the people in the locker room, and I've heard people say, obviously, the things that you think about Russell Wilson traditionally is, like, he might not be the most liked person. What's the answer closer to reality?
I think that there are some guys that he rubs the wrong way with his for the lack of a better term, his shtick. I think there are guys in the room that don't care and just say, hey, look, man, if you produce, whatever, fine, right? Like there's, when you factor in how many people are actually in the locker room, you're talking 100 guys between the players, coaches, equipment guys, trainer. I mean, you get all kinds of personalities. Some teams are going to fit in with more than others. But there are guys, absolutely, who go, look, dude, just stop. Stop talking. Stop doing the cutesy little sayings. Like, I don't care. Just go out and throw the ball. You know, I think so. It depends on the room. That being said, he can do all that stuff. If they're winning games, nobody's going to care. You know, I think that was a bigger issue in Denver because not only was he doing that stuff, they were losing. He was being paid a fortune. And you go to Pittsburgh, they're winning games. He's not getting paid a fortune by Pittsburgh. It's a different dynamic. So I think a lot of times with that stuff, listen, you're 8-4. Do it all you want. You're 4-8. I don't want to hear from you anymore. And I think that's kind of the bottom line in the NFL.
Yeah, another thing with his meeting today, too. Supposedly, Myles Garrett in the building there making his own pitch to try to bring Russ in. Supposedly, I've put Deshaun Watson in the corner, I think as everybody has. Apparently, he was in the building, but we don't know at what capacity today. He could have just been rehabbing. Could have been in on the conversation. I hope not. But Myles Garrett, for that reason, is sort of the focal point. If he's in there helping recruit Russ, is there a point that I should be trusting him in that? Or is he maybe when he's trying to sell, hey, as a quarterback, you should come play for the Browns. Is there almost a part of you, is the guy coming in going, well, isn't he a hypocrite?
I mean, look, Myles Garrett's a phenomenal future Hall of Fame type player. But at the same point, I mean, if I'm Russell Wilson and I'm sitting there, I'm like, dude, you just wanted to get out of here like an hour ago. And then they gave you 160 million reasons not to want to get out of here anymore. Look, the reality is, I don't know that it matters. Like, what is Russell Wilson going to do? Like, let's just be real about it. So if you're looking around the league right now, the only starting jobs that are really open are Tennessee, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, the Giants. Those last two, one of them is going to be taken up by Aaron Rodgers whenever he decides to make a decision. Maybe that'll be June. The other three teams, a couple of them are going to probably draft a quarterback. I mean, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Cleveland, whether it's the Giants, right? I mean, the Steelers are probably the one team that wouldn't draft a quarterback, you wouldn't think. Everybody else, they're in that spot. I mean, they all could take a quarterback really early. It's one of the top three teams in the draft order. So it'd be very interesting to see how it shakes. But if you're Russ, like if you get an offer, let's just say the Browns say, okay, we'll give you a year and we'll make it, you know, $15 million, whatever. You're gonna turn it down? Like, where are you going? And it's not like the other options are so great that you feel like, oh, this is all. I mean, maybe there's a world where Rodgers goes to the Giants and the Steelers just say, look, we'll take you back. But I think the Steelers being so out on him at this point kind of tells you what they want to do. They want to move on. They want to move forward, and I think that's kind of where they're leaning.
Let's talk about another name, Matt Verderam of SI Now with us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Kirk Cousins, obviously a name heavily tied to the Browns. What is happening over there? Is he going to be released? Because I've heard things saying people think he will be released by the deadline coming up this Sunday before they have to pay him the $10 million. And then the Falcons and more reports saying, no, they are kind of heels dug in and Kirk's going to stay. Where do you stand on the whole thing?
I would tell you that I just cannot believe, from a common sense standpoint, that the Falcons are actually going to go into training camp with a $45 million a year quarterback sitting behind Michael Penix Jr. I don't think it makes any sense. If you know anything about the way a locker room works, look, there's going to be a game or two. Even if Penix turns out to be a really good player, he's going to struggle. It's going to happen. He's essentially going to be a first-year starter. He's going to have some games where he throws a couple picks, where he doesn't play well. Where maybe they're in the middle of the third quarter and they're down 13-10 and he's thrown two or three interceptions and you got guys grumbling going, well, we got Kirk Cousins sitting here who's at $180 million. So like, why can't he go out and win? Because none of these guys care about Michael Penix's development. They don't care. They want to win. They want to win games. These guys are worrying about trying to, you know, get bonuses and get to the playoffs and get an extra check. But they don't care about how much Michael Penix is doing, you know, in week 12 in terms of his development. So I just think if you're Atlanta, you are setting Michael Penix up for a very unnecessarily stressful situation. Whereas if Cousins isn't there, it's his team all day. There's no argument. There's no back and forth if something doesn't go right early. And so I think he's going to get cut. But if you listen to people in the league, there is a real sentiment that, like, no, they're not going to do it. They're just going to hang on to him. And I think it's frankly foolish. And I think it's because they don't want to look like they made a big, big, big mistake. But let's be real. If he's your backup, you already look that way. That's the truth. I just don't know if they want to accept the truth yet.
So is there a difference then between, let's say Kirk becomes available and the Browns have options on the table. Is there a difference between Kirk and Russ?
I think it's probably slight. I would rather have Kirk Cousins, personally. First of all, Kirk played, with Stefanski in Minnesota, so obviously he's very familiar with the system and all that. That's a helpful thing. Then there's also the other part of it that you look at and go, all right, well, is Cousins a better player? I think if the Achilles is more healed, and, a lot of times guys will tell you that takes 2 years. If that's healed, then – yeah, maybe he has a year where he goes out there and throws for 3,900 yards and 26 touchdowns. I mean, that's a lot better than I think you're getting out of Russell Wilson. Maybe you're close to the touchdowns, probably the yardage. And I don't think you're dealing with as much, off-field stuff with Cousins as you are with kind of the circus that comes with Russ with the way he is sometimes. I would rather have Cousins. Now, do I think either one of them is drastically going to alter their win-loss record? Maybe Cousins makes him a win better in my eyes, something like that. I don't know that it's all of a sudden like they go from 6-11 to 9-8, but I'd rather have Cousins for no other reason because he's familiar with Kevin Stefanski. And I always think when you have the familiarity, especially between quarterback and coach, that's helpful.
Yeah, well, we're on the same page there. There is a quarterback that is already in the building right now for the Browns. Kenny Pickett. Traded for a DTR and a fifth. We'll start there. Is that too much to give up to go get Kenny Pickett on your roster?
Yes, because I wouldn't have given up anything to get Kenny Pickett on my roster. And I don't mean that like flippantly. I'm serious. I wouldn't have. Why are you giving up a draft pick for Kenny Pickett? Like, what is the end game of that? Like, what is he going to start? Like, he's not going to start. He's going to be a backup. Then why give up a fifth? Like, were the Eagles getting better offers than that? Like, I would have been like, here's DTR and a conditional 7. If he starts 8 games next year, you get a 7th round pick. And if he doesn't, you get no pick and you get DTR. That's it. That's what you're getting. Like, would the Eagles have, like, balked at that? I just, to me, what is the, why? Is he going to play meaningful snaps? Like, if he does, it's a disaster. So I don't understand the thought process of giving up any draft pick for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I could probably guess part of your answer to the next question, but is there anything left there? Is there anything left with Kenny Pickett in the NFL and a chance that he could actually be a reclamation project, or is this, as you sort of laid out, a backup and move on?
I don't think there was anything ever there. Like, he was just, look, Kenny Pickett was overdrafted because, if you remember, that draft class was historically terrible with quarterbacks, like comically bad. Malik Willis was a guy that year that people were like, well, maybe he's a first-round pick because he's a quarterback. And he went like 86th or something like that. Pickett was drafted because the Steelers desperately needed a quarterback. He went to the University of Pittsburgh. There were no other options on the table that really made any sense in that spot. If memory serves, the new guy actually ended up being Brock Purdy's class, but nobody in the world thought Brock Purdy was going to be anything of note. I remember being at the Senior Bowl and watching Kenny Pickett and just thinking, there's no way a team's taking him in the first round. He's not the kind of guy physically that you would look at and think that. I remember watching Justin Herbert at the Senior Bowl. Like, it was evident watching that guy throw the ball. You're like, this guy's going to be a top 10 pick. His arm is ridiculous. You never thought that about Kenny Pickett. So, listen, at this point, do I think Kenny Pickett could have one of those careers where he plays for like 7 teams and he's in the league for 10 years? Yeah, sure. I would not give up a pick for a guy that fits that description.
And yet here the Browns are. Is the team, Matt, delusional for the moves that they've been making, essentially trying to get into a spot where they're competitive, where in a time where they could have just sort of laid down, rebuilt, and built this thing back up?
Yeah, I just think if you're the Browns, if you're any team, forget being the Browns. If you're any team in the AFC and you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen, you have an obligation to seriously ask yourself, can we compete with the current roster that we have, or are we at least close to competing? Maybe you're a team like Houston with CJ Stroud, although I have no idea what they're doing up front. Maybe you're a team, you know, like Denver that say, hey, you know, Bo Nix works. Okay, fine. But, you know, I look at a team like, for an example, like in Miami. What are you doing? Where is it going? You're not. No one is scared of Miami and Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore. I think if you're a team like Cleveland, you've got to just, like, don't draft one of these kids if you think they're the guy. Now, if you don't think they're the guy, then don't do it. Then take Abdul Carter, or take Travis Hunter, or take somebody else. Fine. But if you think Shador Sanders can be that guy, if Cam Ward is there, if you end up being able to draft him, he's that guy, take him. Because the only chance you have of ever breaking through is with one of those guys. That's it. Like, if you and Joe Burrow, I should also include, although the Bengals seem to be hell-bent on going 7-10. But, like, if you don't have one of those top guys in the AFC, you have no chance. You're just not going to beat out those teams.
Yeah, I've been in that boat. I've tried to sort of claim the rebuild for weeks now, and it just hasn't caught on. I'll point you a direction, sort of a major NFL conversation here, but not major, just whole picture NFL. Joe Milton, a quarterback name that I thought was interesting, is a guy drafted late in a good draft class who showed out for one game, and it feels like now the Patriots made him available and there hasn't been a ton of interest. Is that the right feeling? Should there be more buzz around Joe Milton? What's your feel on it?
Joe Milton is a fascinating guy from the standpoint. I remember last year when he was coming out talking to some people around him and talking to some people just in the league who would tell you, listen, that kid's arm, like, he can throw the ball 80 yards in the air flat-footed. But the problem is he has no idea where it's going. And, like, if you can get somebody who can get him accurate, then all bets are off. Like, he could be really talented. Like, there is an example of a guy. If I'm Cleveland, go give a fifth-round pickup for that guy. Like, who knows, you know, or if a fourth round or whatever. Like, his arm talent is absurd. But he's the classic case of a guy. He needs the right coach. He needs the right system. He needs somebody who can take him and say, okay, Joe, look, your arm, special, but your mechanics, we've got to work on that. We've got to work on your floor. You know, I think sometimes, and I'm not saying Joe Milton could ever become even half of this player, but, like, when Patrick Mahomes came out of college, you know, the Chiefs sat him for a year, and they didn't sit him for a year because they thought it would be fun to sit him for a year. They sat him for a year because Andy Reid basically had to completely overhaul his feet. His footwork, if you go back and watch him at Texas Tech, his footwork is abominable. He would tell you that. And they straightened out his feet, and he, you know, obviously became what he became. And Joe Milton may never become something like that, but I think he's the kind of guy, if you get him with the right coach, fix some of the technical stuff, he does have the arm talent that is really tantalizing.
Matt Verderam, as I now with this, Matt, I'll get you out of here with this real quick, like 30 seconds or less. What team that added a quarterback this year do you think made the biggest difference win total from where they were without that quarterback to where they are now?
It's interesting. I guess I would say, look, I think the Raiders, just from the standpoint that the floor is, you know, was really kind of where they were with Aiden O'Connell and Minshew, and now Geno Smith again knows the system. Like, I don't think he makes them even a playoff team, but they might be 3-4 wins better. I don't know that you can say that about Seattle. I don't, like, you know, obviously McCarthy was there. We'll see with them. I think the Vikings are a very good team. But, yeah, I think right now, you know, if nothing else, the Raiders at least I think will be respectable offensively, where last year they really were not.
All right. I like it. Matt Verderam of SI Now. Matt, as always, appreciate you setting the time aside and taking the time to talk with us, and look forward to doing it again sometime soon. Jake Vonnegut with you guys on The Fan. Just got done talking to Matt Verderam of SI Now. I mean, listen, the guy – He definitely didn't hate Russ, okay? It was throwing it out there. I was like, listen, the way that Matt is, I feel like Russ is not going to be his prime option. He's going to be talking about how he has no arm strength. And he basically threw out Russ there. It's like, well, when you lose, people don't like you. When you win, people tend to like you. And he's an okay quarterback. He's not great. And then we brought up Kenny Pickett. And we bring up Kenny Pickett. And whew, there was no love lost between those two, okay? He was fully on the board of Kenny Pickett is garbage. Kenny Pickett has always been garbage. And I don't know how he has an NFL job or giving away a draft pick to get him.
Joe Milton got him a little excited.
He liked Joe Milton. Hey, listen, Joe Milton, top 10 on the quarterback big board. Maybe Joe Milton should have been, as he mentioned, the guy brought in over Kenny Pickett. I brought that up, I think, last night or the night before. But, like, how do we get Kenny Pickett? Like, there's a quarterback, and then the guy who threw for like 300 yards last year, three touchdowns, and everyone was like, he just needs to find a way to be accurate, and he'll be good. And you were just like, not him. Yeah, what is that, the round value, like a second round pick on Joe Milton? I would highly doubt it. You drafted him in the sixth a year ago, and you played him one game. Is Vrabel the one arguing right now? Is he basically the GM there? Is that what's happening? It's like him and Kraft just basically trade off positions. But if I'm talking to Vrabes, which, by the way, should be a great connection for Kevin Stefanski, I'm looking at you and being like, brother, we're looking at the same guy. Like, Joe, like, he looks really good.
Have your quarterback. They have Drake May. Don't hog him. Just give him to us.
They literally sat there and went, we feel like we have two quarterbacks this year. Yeah, but you drafted one at three, and you drafted one in the sixth round. Okay, they're not the same. They are not the same value. I'll give you a fifth. You can have DTR. I'll give you the backup. You probably don't want him, but I'll give him to you. Honestly, I like to think the idea that you probably could have gotten Kenny Pickett for like a sixth, but DTR was the add, and they're like, well, we're going to need a fifth. Bump that up. And the Browns were like, well, yeah, we'll just eat our mistake. Everyone will be like, wow, DTR valued a little bit lower than Kenny Pickett. Yeah, no, it's so much so that it was probably into the negative. But yeah, I would love to see if Joe Milton was here, but with Kenny Pickett, I don't think you ever get both. Like, those are two guys in the same, not even like reclamation, but just unproven quarterback. You just never end up with both. I did want to get to, though, 216-474-0092, just how seriously are the Browns pursuing Russell Wilson? I feels like by bringing him in for an interview, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, feels like you're going after him pretty hard. Well, Aditi Kinkabwala, who's commonly on with Ken and Anthony in the morning, CBS Sports, talked about teams reaching out with serious inquiries to see what's going on with Russ across the league, and one of those teams potentially being the Browns.
I mean, I'll say this. I had multiple conversations with multiple really high-level people in the Browns organization when the Kenny Pickett deal happened. How do I phrase this? This is not one of those instances where I'm trying to pat myself on the back, but I did have multiple personnel people, including a general manager, call me to pick my brain about Russell Wilson during and after the combine. I'm sort of blown away. I don't know. And I guess this is one of those situations where I'm curious to see if somebody calls me from the Browns organization.
Like, okay, so people are reaching out. We're trying to figure out what's happening with Russ. Aditi might have the inside scoop on what's going on with Russ. Okay, it makes a ton of sense. And Aditi is well tapped in, so it makes sense that people are reaching out and trying to figure out, okay, what do you know? Like, is there anything behind here? Within the same interview, and again, audio courtesy of 93.7 The Fan, our sister station over in Pittsburgh, in the same conversation, Aditi does the thing that she'll even admit here she doesn't love to do, but Browns fans, if you didn't think they were taking it seriously, this might be the convincing factor.
That is what they're doing, right?
I'm getting a call from someone.
Is it a 216, a 440, one of those area codes?
Do we need to let you go to answer that?
It is indeed.
Wait, are you pulling a Schefter on us or
okay,
a Rappaport
now I am going to do it. Congratulations on all your success. You deserve it
for
that one.
No, not that. You know what? I really hate when people do things like that because it just feels like such a look at me.
I wish I had a better poker face.
But this is why I don't play poker, because I'm not good at making up things like that.
So Aditi, very much so, either doing a real good sell there at the end of like, oh, I don't make things up while also making things up. But I think the more realistic factor is Russ was just brought in by the Browns, and somebody from the Browns is going, let's figure out what Aditi knows. Let's figure out what Aditi has here, because don't forget, backtrack a little more than a month back into February, Aditi was also on in our sister station in Pittsburgh and had thrown out the idea that it was the argument between Arthur Smith and Russ, and it was basically Arthur was play the idea that Russ could make changes at the line, and Aditi came on and was like, yeah, that's basically not true. Right? Like, that is about as false as it comes. And you're getting one side of the story. So again, makes sense why people are calling Aditi about Russ. But if the Browns were never interested, if they had no desire to actually go out and make an attempt for it, again, unless you're putting it on the line right now, Aditi's not telling the truth, it sure sounds like the Browns are pretty interested and want to hear what they have to say and get the full scoop on Russell Wilson, because I'm sure that's something that came up in the conversation today is, hey, well, Russ, you know, from what we're hearing, you obviously had a little bit of a spat with Arthur Smith. What happened? You get Russ's side of the story, and then you go, okay, we know what the reports were. Let's sort of get both ends of the story from Aditi, because she seems like she has everything that could go down. And if other teams were doing it that were interested in Russell Wilson, I'm sure we could throw out the Giants into that conversation. It sure sounds like the Browns are very much so considering Russell Wilson. Whether or not you like it or you know, not, they are going to be considering bringing in Russell Wilson. As I've been trying to say, if you can't get Kirk, next best option is Russ. Okay, and I don't love the optics of having Russ on your team or what he brings from an arm strength standpoint, but we know what the Kevin Stefanski offense is. Russ could probably make it work. You're not going to get much better of a quarterback in the play action. Like, that's what he does, and Kevin's going to love that. From a schematic and a system standpoint, it makes a lot of sense that Russ would be here. The off-the-field stuff might make it less likely and less desirable. But again, I tend to believe what Aditi's selling, and to me, sounds like the Browns are pretty close to all in on a real attempt at Russ and really going for this thing if things pan out the way they want it to. 216-474-0092. Just how seriously are the Browns pursuing Russell Wilson? And we'll also get into maybe some Browns hate on Kenny Pickett. Deserved, undeserved, we'll get to it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. It's Kenny Pickett hate central around this place, okay? And we're talking about Russ, but I got texts coming through my phone. Anthony Allant, you heard him on updates today if you were listening earlier on in the day. 1-7, he's telling me, Kenny Pickett, he's hating on him all day long. I got to listen to this kid. Hates Kenny Pickett when the trade gets made. Hates Kenny Pickett when he's listening to the show.
It's very valid. It's very valid.
It's not valid. Right now, Jack.
You said
right
he was now. An unproven quarterback. No, he's been proven to be a bad quarterback.
Do you know what his record in starting games
is?
Yeah,
I get that. We talked about this the other day. But
very good.
I don't care.
Very good. He played two games this year.
So is Jimmy G's record. Jimmy G's not good.
Jimmy G, quarterback taken off the quarterback big board. Actually,
thank God.
A spot above Kenny Pickett. So it makes sense that I'm in this argument right now. They're in the same sort of range here. And listen, this is what happens. I'm like, Kenny Pickett's not that bad. And then everyone else is like, Kenny Pickett should be quarterback 96 on the big board. And I'm like, okay, so now I have to go to bat for Kenny Pickett because I think he was the 23rd best option.
It's your Jalen Milroe argument all over again. Everybody was against Jalen Milroe. And you're like, he's not that bad that you had to defend him and you didn't even want him.
Exactly. I'm having to come in here. I'm like, oh, Jalen Milroe. Oh, well, guys, I mean, listen, I'm not saying he's great. Like, you get him into the right system. You sort of run him in a run-heavy system. He gives you almost Jalen Hurts vibes, like a Jalen Hurts light. Again, he's like, I mean, I had to bump him up. He's in the top 10 because he's a first-round rookie.
You're being way too optimistic about this. I was the optimistic one during the season, back there cutting sound. You were always negative.
Because now his team was terrible.
Now it's completely flip-flop.
Well, listen, if we know anything based on what's happened here in history, I'm in the right, Jax. Listen, it might be time to come on over, okay? You can still flip-flop here. You have time to join the right
side. There's no flip-flopping on Kenny Pickett for me.
Listen, I was very pessimistic last year. Rightfully so. The team went 3-14. I said that's not going to work, and it didn't. And then we flip over to this side, and I'm like, listen, these quarterbacks, everyone's painting them as terrible. Maybe they're not that bad. And maybe Kenny Pickett starts some games for you this year and starts to convince you. I just don't think that the hate is all that warranted. Again, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying I'm begging for him to start games for the Cleveland Browns. Certainly not. If he had to play, he'd be okay. Like, again, if he started four games next year, you're going to be okay. You're going to be just fine. Kenny Pickett can get you through that.
I think that's the ceiling. Four games. I think that's the ceiling.
He could get you through a season. It's just not a good season.
No.
It's just not a good season. Like, he's not winning 10 games. I'm not saying he's doing that. He'll get you through a whole season where he's like, you might win five or six. You might win five or six. I think he could take you through like a six-game stretch where you go 3-3 against, like, unless you're playing a gauntlet. Like, if you play a mix of teams, you go 3-3. He'll beat the bad teams. He'll lose to the good teams. He's right there in the middle. He's really not that bad. He played two games this year in basically totality for the Eagles. 143 yards, a touchdown and pick. 143 yards, a touchdown and no picks. 15 pass attempts, 24 pass attempts. Seems pretty good. I could live with that. I'm all right with that. Just run the ball. Get him into a system that was better than even he was with the Eagles. That fits him a little bit better. Again, I don't want to have to defend Kenny Pickett. I don't want to have to be the person. They're pursuing Russ, though. And if it's Kenny Pickett's job right now, Russ is taking it twice, okay? Russ is there taking it twice. And I'm going to be the person having to sit here defend Russ. Hey, everyone's like, oh, the comparison between Kirk and Russ. And I think there is a sizable difference there. But it's like, Russ is the garbage. I have Nick Wilson telling me that Russ and Aaron Rodgers should be on the same level for their off-the-field concerns. It's like, No. Like, I can deal with Russ. Aaron is beyond through the roof. Like, he might genuinely run for vice president in the middle of his quarterback season. And we're not even in an election year. He might stop right now to run for vice president. And I have my concerns about what's going on. He might just step off into a darkness retreat in week 7. He's a wild card. I have no idea of where he's going. And I feel like I have to defend Russ half the time. I'm like, is he that bad? Like, if everyone's like, I don't want Russ. Same thing. He's going to get you to like close to 500. It's not a good result, but if you're telling me, oh, you get Russ and the season's chalked and they're going to be bad, everyone gets fired. No, Russ might be the job
he's
saver.
A much better option than Kenny Pickett, like not even close.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, definitely a better option. I mean, Steelers made the playoffs last year with Russ as quarterback and falling apart the last five games of the season. It's not that bad. You have things to hold on to. 216-474-0092. I want to go out to the phones. Wayne is in Cleveland. What's going on, Wayne?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. What do you got?
Yeah, you know, out of all the options that was out there, you know, and I think the ones, you know, the Browns strongly pursue, I look at it, Justin Fields should have been first, but he's taking it.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson was number two. I think he's number two. Kirk Cousins, his resume ain't as strong. It's strong, but not as strong as Russ. You know, Russ got two Super Bowl appearances, and you know, that experience is still there. And him coming to Cleveland, I think they can really, you know, do something with him. You know, if they both come to an agreement. I don't know what I want to know what has he done off the field. I want you to explain to people. You know, once you put me off, yeah. I want to know what has he done off the field.
Yep, I got you, and I appreciate the call. I think a lot of the people for the off-the-field concerns with Russ, it's, again, I think a completely different scenario than, like, Aaron Rodgers when I think off-the-field. I think, again, darkness retreats, stepping away, causing drama, bringing along Nathaniel Hackett wherever he goes because somehow he maintains a job. There's a million things that come with Aaron Rodgers. But for Russ, it's just sort of the – he puts out a persona and has, like, a shtick to him. That's the way that Matt Verheyen put it. It's like there's no better way to explain it. He just has a shtick where he's corny. And he rubs people the wrong way because he obviously, as you go through and you do the whole Broncos country, let's ride. And you do your Subway commercials and you just have a weird personality to you.
It's like Jameis, but not as enjoyable.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite, actually. It's the same thing, but the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Where Jameis is like...
Everybody loves Jameis.
Everybody loves him and at all times positive. But in the locker room, you could see, okay, if you win three games, Jameis could get old real quick.
Yeah.
With Russ, it's like, okay, you're kind of off the deep end, like weird. We're just not sure what's happening there. And you got this whole thing going around you with the media and you're saying things with weird phrases and weird sayings. And we don't love it, but we'll put up with it if we're winning. Right? It's okay. But then as soon as you stop winning, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, we're kind of over this.
Like, what's his saying going to be if the Browns bring him in? Oh,
dog pound. Less bar.
It's gonna be
dope. Get riled up. I could like okay. The one bad part of this. Okay, we'll go down the. And again, I don't want Russ, but I'm just comparing him as like if you don't have Kirk, your best next best option in a veteran quarterback is Russ. But just let's just take this in for a second. Like the videos they play on the scoreboard, Russ popping up on those videos and be like, come on, dog pound.
It's going to be like, brutal.
It's going to hurt your soul to watch and listen to. It is going to be a shot to the heart. Like, oh my gosh, we're really doing this right now? We're really doing this? This is what we've succumbed to as a franchise? Is that we're playing this up on the board? Yeah, like, unfortunately, that's what you get. And you know what? Browns fans are going to be eating it up. You'll be posting it on social media all day long, being like, yeah, making a joke of it, but here's our quarterback if you have 10 wins on the end of the year. You don't care. Now, if you go through and you end up 5-12, those screens are probably going to be covered in tomatoes and everything else. Okay, nachos, popcorn, everything's going to be stuck to those. It's going to be, get them off my screen. I can't deal with this. And it'll be a massive meme. You'll have the Broncos country, let's ride type memes, and nobody's going to want to deal with it. But that's what Russ brings. Like, unfortunately, that's what your Cleveland Browns are pursuing. That is real business happening right now, is that he's there, and you have to deal with it. I got to circle back to Kenny Pickett, though. I have to come to my defense on Kenny Pickett. Again, I've laid out already within this segment, I think he can get you like 6 games. I think that he can get to you sort of, just not playing that bad. He did speak earlier today, and I do want to play a couple clips with from what he had to say. I want to get to just sort of the fact that he paired with Kevin Stefanski and the way that Kevin's offense works versus what Kenny ran in college. I get it as a little bit ago, but you might get to a point where, hey, if you did it once, we talk how important this system is, might be able to do it again. Here's what Kenny had to say there.
Yeah, I did. I had a chance to meet with them in Indy, actually, with Kevin, and kind of going through his system was very similar to, you know, the offense that I ran at the University of Pittsburgh, you know, with Coach Mark Whipple. He actually, you know, worked here in Cleveland during his time in the league, too, before he was, in the college level. So having a chance to work with Coach Whip and learn from him 3 years at Pitt in an NFL system really prepared me for the NFL and understand the terminology, the concepts that, you know, a lot of teams do run. So there's, you know, a lot of crossover there. I think that'll really help me, you know, speed that process up here, learning this system.
Like, okay, we talk about and hammer home how important it is for a quarterback to be familiar in this system, how important it is that just at the end of the day, all you have to do is just be able to work in the Stefanski system. And we've had so many quarterbacks, and you can go down the line of not great quarterbacks that can work in the system. Well, okay, if Kenny Pickett's already basically ran that and ran it well in college, I'm not saying, again, that he's going to be your starter for 17 games and you're going to go win a Super Bowl with Kenny Pickett. He's got to step in if he's got to start. If the Browns don't get another veteran and you go, okay, I need Kenny to start for 6 games before I can turn things over, I truly do believe that Kenny could get you there. I believe that he's a good backup quarterback. He's not a great starter. He's definitely not somebody I want there. But if I got to have him step in for 6 games, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, Jax, we were talking in the pre-show and sitting there having the conversation, like, we both like Shador Sanders better over Cam Ward from a Brown-specific standpoint because of what he does in the system.
Yes.
If Kenny Pickett runs the same system, been there, succeeded in it, and then you go over, okay, can you run the system? Yeah, I can run it. I've ran it before. And I think he's intelligent enough to run the Stefanski system. Again, I'm not saying he's Shador Sanders.
The skill gap is too much still. Like, I don't care about the system.
It might not be that bad. I mean, we're talking about Kenny Pickett being a second to third round valued pick. That's almost where people have Shador Sanders right now.
Well, I just don't believe that. I don't care. I just don't see that in Shador. I think Shador Sanders is a first round talent no matter what. Like,
I mean, I agree with you. I think he's better than Kenny Pickett. But I mean, if I have Shador Sanders and Shador Sanders light, the older light version of Shador Sanders, it might be all right. Like, it might not be as bad as it's painted out. Again, and we pay so much off of just being able to get to the system, like, it just doesn't get there. It's not that bad. All right, we're up against it. And we have coming up here in about 25 minutes at 9:20. We'll talk to Ethan Sands of Cleveland.com. We have Get a Grip coming your way in about 6 minutes. I see questions about Jameis Winston out there, by the way. Guys, you don't sign Jameis because Jameis is the character that he is, very simply put. As I said, 6 minutes away, we'll get to Get a Grip and Ethan Sands coming your way in a little bit. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan.
In-betweens are made for...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.